this episode of Bear Podcast.
Michael Sam is a free agent now.
Being cryogenically frozen.
And sexualized male superheroes.
All this and more coming up next. Bear Podcast, 535.
Hey, all you bears!
He's texting to bump into Big Hairy Man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you to get some scrub bear fix it for you.
Can I do the podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that is funny, cute, what?
That's two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to. Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 535. And still September 2nd, Tuesday, because
we had such a big show, we decided, well, we'll just split it in half since we're going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so we're splitting the show, and we're wearing the same shirt. You're still seeing some of the Sudden Decadence pictures in the background, so yeah. So the first episode a while ago, for last week, is 534, where we talked about Daniel Pierce coming out, parents, and also some entertainment news. That's that took right. A long time.
And Armageddon.
Say it again.
Armageddon.
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 Armageddon. Armageddon. Okay, so yeah, that's our show from last week. So, coming up next is actually the second half of the show.
That's right.
So, I hope you guys enjoy. This is episode 534.
Five.
Okay.
And you then said we 534. Did... You should have said 535.
Oh, is it 534? 535.
Yeah. You said 534.
Oh, okay. So, this is 535. Now, it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
I'll do the gay.
You do the gay? Okay.
Okay. Michael Sam's a free agent after the NFL team passed during waivers period.
Do you think this is by design? This
I don't know. I mean, everybody was talking really good about him in the preseason, but they were like, oh, they're probably going to cut him. Oh, they're probably going to cut him. But he's playing great on the couple games that he did in the preseason. But I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. So defensive, hopefully tight end. The first openly gay pair to be drafted in the NFL was cut by the St. Louis Rams on Saturday. Michael Sam, the first openly gay player to be drafted by an NFL team, became a free agent on Sunday, a day after he was cut from the St. Louis Rams. The NFL's waivers period expired at noon, without Sam having signed for one of the other 31 teams in the league. The Rams can still sign him on to their practice squad, but reports said that was unlikely, given the depth of Sam's position, which had caused his failure to make the 53-man roster for the season, which begins on Thursday. Sam could sign for another team's practice squad. Some observers have suggested he could find a place in the Canadian Football League.
What?
Yeah. On Saturday's Rams coach, Jeff Fisher, said that the decision to cut Sam had been a football decision. We mentioned when we signed Michael that it was going to be a tough road, Fisher told NFL.com. Those four defensive ends we have had on the roster are good. They're very productive. It's the strength of our football team. It was a football decision. There were no issues. That's the thing. No issues in the team, meeting room, on the field, anyplace. The national debate continues, nonetheless, about Sam's fate and what it revealed about attitudes to homosexuality in the NFL and without. Earlier this week, ESPN, ESPN, reported Joshua Josina. I also want to call her Joshua for a minute. Josina Anderson attracted criticism from comedian and commentator John Stewart, among others, for a report which discussed Sam's supposed policy regarding shower with his Ram teammates, was another big blow-up this week about the whole thing, too, about she asked, so what's it like to take a shower with him or whatever?
Really? They asked that? What did they answer?
Well, nothing really got said about it. They were like, everything's okay. You know, he usually lags back and takes the showers after everybody else and yada, yada, yada. But ESPN slammed her, I think, and because she asked that question at all.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, but
it's kind of a stupid question.
It was a stupid question, but you know.
Although many want to know, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a stupid question.
I know there's a lot of football teams I'd like to go sit in and watch the showers with.
Yeah, me too, actually. Mm-hmm. If Jeff Saturday only you could see him shower. Oof. Anyway.
Okay. Do you need a moment, Manny?
Yeah. I got the hot flashes.
So what do y'all think? I mean, do y'all think it was kept for a gig or that he wasn't a good enough football player? Maybe we should have called the mic on this one to ask his opinion.
That's right. We can ask him.
So, mm-hmm. But anyway. So anyway, on to the geek. Let us know if y'all think of anything about what you think about if he got cut because he was gay or just because he didn't live up to snuff.
Okay. Now, for the geek, former Bitcoin coder and ALS patient is now being cryogenically frozen. Although it's cryonically? I guess that's another term for it. So anyway, it's this guy, if you guys don't know what Bitcoin is the, it's a currency. It's an electronic currency right now that it's not being tracked by banks and everything. And it's pretty cool technology. But then if you lose it, how much is it right now? $800 to the Bitcoin? I think, I can't remember. I don't know how much, but it costs a lot now.
But so, wasn't there some kind of federal regulation thing about it or something?
There's none. That's the point. It's a representation of money that is not being controlled by any entity. It's not being regulated or anything. So it's pretty cool. It's just like having cash and giving it around. But then it's electronic. Yeah. So anyway, so renowned cryptographer Hal Finney, known for his work on PGP encryption software and on an early Bitcoin development, has passed away on Thursday following a five-year battle with ALS, a terrible disease that's currently enjoying a viral funding campaign thanks to the Ice Bucket Challenge, of course. But the programmer hoped that one day technology will heal him. Finney has become an early adopter of a kind of tech that's only seen on TVs, in the movies. I mean, human cryopreservation. So what they did was to freeze him, but before freezing him, they took out all his fluids, all his blood,
and replaced it with
chemical called the M22, which is designed to minimally toxic as possible to his tissues while preventing the formation of ice crystals that would result from freezing and destroying his cell membrane. So it kind of preserves you underneath.
So basically, he took the ultimate ice bucket challenge. Too soon. Too soon.
Too soon. Right.
No, actually, that is so bad. But I mean, he's not the first person that's done this. So.
Well, he's rich. He can do this.
He's rich. He can do that. So.
So he did that, and then he got frozen and everything. So we'll see 20 years. And he agreed to with his wife. His wife is going to do the same too. So. Kind of reminds me of a Star Trek episode. Remember? There are these people who were coming from the 20th century. They were cryogenically frozen and put to space. Remember that? It's a next generation.
Yeah, I do remember that episode.
Yeah. So what they did, they caught them, some died and some lived. But they were able to revive them all because they do have the technology, the medical technology, to revive them plus heal them. So they're all well and everything. But then their mentality is on the 20th century. So one of the guys is investor or something. So by now, in the 24th century, I should be very rich now. So that's what he was thinking. And the others, we're just regretting that. They lost a lot of family and everything. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, cryogenically frozen. So yeah. So Ray, what do you think? If you got the money, would you like to be cryogenically frozen?
I don't know. I mean, that's one of those things is when you die to your soul, does your soul leave your body?
And if you burn the body.
Well, he's not burning the body, but I'm just saying, when you die, if you believe in having a soul, doesn't your soul leave your body? So if he's dead and they freeze him and they bring him back, will he have a soul? Will he still be the same? I mean, what will it? Will he be a vegetable?
Okay. That is interesting. So he just doesn't leave the body.
Yeah.
Are you worried about that?
No.
No.
Not really.
Not really. Would you rather be cremated or you want to be cryogenically frozen?
Oh, no, just get rid of me. Just bury me out on some flour somewhere and keep the dogs from digging me up.
But if there is a technology that could revive you, like on the 24th century and Captain Kirk comes in and revives you, hey, dude, you're alive now.
I mean, it could be in thought. It's interesting, but, everything and everybody I know would be gone.
I know. I wouldn't do it. I don't think so.
I mean, I'd completely start over. I'd have to figure out a whole new life. Mm-hmm. I'd be so far behind educated that people at that time
It's like an episode of Futurama.
Yeah, you know, I'd be like, what do I do now? Because I don't, you know, everything's so far past what I knew, trying to learn it all. And, it, you know, at certain ages, it's harder to learn stuff and pick shit up. Not that you can't do it, but, so, you know, we'll see. Or maybe I'll be a historian and they go back and get hired to work at the museum somewhere talking about the 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
Back then, you have to.
Back then, you had to hook up with an app. You didn't just push a button and they appeared right in front of you.
Yeah. You actually have to log on and be located.
Yeah. We didn't have crystals in our hands back then.
Yeah. And you have pictures. You still have pictures, these small icons of guys. And then when you, and then later on, you get a message saying, private pictures have been unlocked.
Yeah.
You know,
you didn't have an Android that could, you could change your face, body type every time you wanted a different sex partner. So
that's right. So yeah, in the future you can do that. Oh my God.
So we'll see.
Okay.
Okay. On the bizarre. Here's a good one. I picked. This is more of a geek thing, but I thought it was kind of bizarre because they were talking about 10 times when comics and movies sexualized male superheroes. Who have ever heard of such a thing?
Right. Didn't they do that in the first place with Superman? I remember him to be, when in the Death of Superman, did you get that comic back then? When he died because of Doomsday. And that was the first time I've ever noticed or I've ever seen that his clothes were torn off and it's all hairy and everything. It's so sexualized. Yeah. It's so, you know, woofy. God, I didn't know Superman was a
Well, for years I've always talked about that the women in comic books have been over-sexualized because they all are double D's and skinny and got boobs hanging for days. I mean, every superhero's got big boobs. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever seen a flat-chested
superhero? No flat-chested superhero.
So, Jubilee, when she first started off, but that's because she was 14, but then she worked up to the double D's pretty quick later on in life.
Jubilee.
So.
God.
So anyway, you've heard the argument that male superheroes are sexualized simply because they are often bare-chested. But a man taking off his shirt doesn't make him a sex object. It's actually rare to find examples of male superheroes who truly are sexualized the way women are in comics. But here's some examples we're going to give you.
Yep.
Here's number one. Jane Foster goes stupid over Thor.
Okay.
You remember the first Thor movie? The Marvel movies certainly include more lingering shots of men's bodies than the comics do. But the real flipping the script moment happens when Jane Foster comes face to chest with the hero Thor. Time and again in movies, we've seen men go gaga over a woman's body. Just look at Iron Man 2. But here the roles are reversed. Jane Foster is a brilliant scientist, but she's rendered positively moronic at the sight of those mighty abs. Thor has shown off quite a bit of skin during his run, but at that moment, the movie truly invites the female gaze. Or gay guys. Gay gaze if you're gay. Because I know I paused that movie a couple times.
Okay, so, yeah, it's interesting. Thor is very, it's really obvious that he's, you know. So, okay, so Dr. Chase, number two. Dr. Chase Meridian feels up Batman. This is a great example of how objectifying a superhero of any gender can sometimes be just plain weird. Batman Forever gave us a batsuit with nipples. Yes, I remember that. How come Batman has nipples? And Nicole Kidman was ready to appreciate those nipples. When she has a moment alone with Batman, she purrs about bad boys in rubber and rubs her hands all over his chest while attempting to seduce him. It's supposed to be sexy, I guess. This is Batman, so this was the Michael Keaton days.
Was it Michael Keaton or Val Kilmer?
Because it was with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
I thought it was... Oh, I can't remember.
I think that was Val Kilmer, that Batman
film. Have you seen a picture of Val Kilmer lately?
He looks rough.
He's gone really chubby and everything.
He's gone very Marlon Brando, who he was always compared to. And now he's finally caught up with the older modern Brando, it looks like. So he's a buyer.
He's a burn now.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer can't be Batman anymore.
Number three, which I never knew of, but I got to go buy this. Marvel swimsuit issues. The Marvel swimsuit issues where superheroes would abandon their cares and worries and costumes and enjoy a little fun in the sun. While the female characters were more universally portrayed as sexy in their swimsuits than the men, although someone found the skull emblem covering Punisher's junk hot, many of these pinups do invite aesthetic appreciation to the male form or some interpretation of it. Now, if you go look at the article, which Maynard will post in the notes, you can go see these pictures they're talking about.
But, you know, Wolverine. Is there an article about Wolverine?
No.
Anyway, so Wolverine has always been naked. You remember?
Yeah, but that's all part of his natural beast animal thing, that he doesn't need clothes. He's the Wolverine, yada, yada, yada. But he'd be hot. Hugh Jackman in the movies would be hot. So.
Yeah, it would be.
But I always thought, even in the comic books, although the original Wolverine was short and kind of firepluggish.
Yeah.
As they moved him into the movies, they made him taller and all.
Yeah. Supposedly, the reason why he's short is because of the adamantium in his skeleton. So he didn't grow or something. He got stunted.
Well, I don't think that was it. I think in the original comic books, because he was the Wolverine, and that's who they kind of formed him after. They're kind of small badgers. So they were making him kind of shawl and muscle and just this little powerhouse of neck claws and, you know, steel and adamantium. So, you know.
Yeah. But anyway. Even the cartoon, he's always been a big guy also.
Yeah, but ever since they started with the movies and X-Men stuff, they moved his size up. He started getting bigger and bigger.
He's bigger now in the comic books? Okay. So. It makes sense.
Okay. I'll take number 4 because this has always been a favorite of mine.
Of course.
Nightwing's butt. And I noticed this back when I was reading DC Comics and in my teens. And I always Nightwing always has a nice butt. Nightwing is paper and ink proof that superhero sex appeal doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with skin. Dick Grayson might be all covered up, but he has a strong following among fan artists who draw sexy superheroes, and there's a particularly strong interest in his butt. Some comic book artists do highlight Nightwing's posterior, often paired with his acrobatics, in a way usually reserved for female characters. And Nicola Scott gave it special detailed attention in an issue of Secret Six. So, but there's a lot of shots of Robin doing these high kicks and stuff, and you see his nice bubble butt. So, and even one of the comic scripts here, he was fighting with somebody, and the two girls like, "Well, we got distracted by your butt."
So Nightwing. Did you ever read a comic book of Nightwing?
Yes, I used to read Teen Titans, and Nightwing was one of the founding members of the Teen Titans, if I remember it correctly.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Robin left Batman, and then had a lover's quarrel or something, and then Batman found a new younger pedophile version of Robin, a younger version of Robin. So Robin had to go do his own thing because he wasn't Robin anymore, so he became Nightwing. Mm. So it was Dick Grayson growing up, he became Nightwing. So
he became a dick.
One of the Batman family, yeah.
Okay. Next is The Art of Namor.
Namor.
Number 5. Okay, so when Art of Namor, Submariner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when people talk about sexy male superhero costumes, the go-to example is often Namor. What's interesting about Namor is that he doesn't wear much less than a lot of male comic book characters, but he is often drawn in a way that pays particular attention to his abs, particularly in pinup styles, covers, and variant covers. So Namor, Submariner, I've always seen him naked. I mean, not naked. He's the Aquaman.
Of the Marvel
comics. He's the Aquaman of the Marvel universe. Is he useless?
Yeah. He's actually pretty powerful, but when I started reading comics, the women were a little more detailed, so you could see the cleavage and the boobs and stuff, and the guys were like the V-shaped and kind of muscular.
Mm-hmm.
But even some of his early stuff, he had kind of defined abs on him, and then as the comic books progressed and got away from being comic, I guess the old comic style, and got into new sharper lines where it's very vivid, everything's very intentional, and you can see the cut of the outfits and the abs up under the outfits and all that kind of stuff, which you kind of couldn't really see before. Mm-hmm. You know, they just kind of outlined it, thin outlines, so you can say, okay, you got pecs, and you know, he's got abs. But he's one of the ones that got very defined first off that I remember.
First ones,
yeah,
I remember.
And then I noticed later on, Aquaman kind of, the comic creators for Aquaman kind of followed that, because they eventually Aquaman lost the shirt, and then he's walking around with just his green pants on and the hook and stuff and the long blonde hair. So
he wore green pants.
Yeah, Aquaman's always had like green pants, green shorts, yeah, green pants,
an orange something,
and an orange top. Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, so yeah, Aquaman. So you're saying he's not as useless as Aquaman.
Aquaman, I never found him was useless.
He is useless. What are those, you know, those jokes that they have robots in the city of New York?
Remember, all these hate emails come in to show at Bear Podcast Attention Nard for hating on the Aquaman. Just saying.
I thought only he was useless.
Only in Super Friends, the cartoon, did he make look like he was useless. So, but he's the king of the sea.
You're in the city of Metropolis and there's a robot. There's no water around. What does he do? He goes into the pond and talks to goldfish.
Like I said, show up Bear Podcast Attention Nard. That's all I'm saying. So.
Okay, so next one.
And then the next, and you would like Bartok. So I don't know if you've ever seen him before, but you need to go look at the article and look at the pictures. Okay. Number six, Bartok's formal attire. I'm hesitant to include this on the list because it's actually played for last, but it's a great example of what you usually don't see in comics. The camera placed on the package and buns.
Really?
Bartok's regular costume looks like Sean Connery's outfit from Zardoz, but his supposed formal attire is actually risque. Power Girl certainly sees it as uncomfortably sexual, which is a bit funny given Power Girl's own costume. And everybody knows Power Girl's costume's always been high cut here, and the boobs have been out for days.
And you could see the camel toe.
Yeah, and you can almost see the super camel toe. But Bartok has got on this little, he's kind of a little chubby, but he's still kind of defined, but he's got on like this little thong type thing with little rings on it, and he's got his little hair going almost like a Burt Reynolds looking thing.
Really?
So, it, you know,
I have to look at this. So, look for this. So. Okay.
Okay, you can do number seven, even though this is, you know, one of my favorite shows.
Marketing. Yeah, I don't like this too much. Marketing Arrow with abs. The prospect of seeing the character Oliver Queen on TV was certainly one draw of Arrow. Clearly, the CW marketing department felt that Stephen Amell's abs would be another. In case it wasn't clear enough that they were going for beefcake, the critics pull quotes, hopefully remove any doubt. So yeah,
and if you watch The Arrow, in my opinion, we don't see Oliver naked enough.
Not too much.
There's always these, you know, pants and no shirt on. Yeah, we need to see him running around more skimpy.
Did you ever see the Flash preview?
Yes.
That was pretty good. I think it has promise. I think it's promising. Anyway, so
we'll find out in a couple weeks.
Wait, is it going to show? Okay. Yeah. It's pretty good. The Flash. Yeah. I only remember it because he, the Arrow had a cameo in on the
episode. Yeah, well, they're spinning it off from that, and they're going to cross over on some things too. So
yeah. Okay.
Number eight, Mountain Man, stepping away from the big two properties, namely Marvel and DC. We get Chad Sells' webcomic, Manta Man, a highly self-aware comic about a 20-something guy who can turn into a manta ray. When his girlfriend learns a secret, she puts him in a costume and encourages him to fight crime. But to her, it's all part of an elaborate bedroom game. Manta Man certainly plays up the humor of skimpy male costumes. So, and if y'all know Manta Man, go look at the comic. He's very skimpy. So,
okay. Next one is Novar. Dancing in his underpants. Hot. Now, this is a great example of a character being portrayed as sexy in a fun and sweet way that doesn't overwhelm in the scene. In Kieron Gillen and Jamie McKelvey's Young Avengers number 1, we see Kate Bishop watching Novar dance in her room. It's her gaze that's on him, and some readers can appreciate Novar in the same way that Kate does. But at the same time, a nice character moment. And it's much sexier than running one's hand down on an unwilling Batman's chest. Is that any good?
I hadn't read Young Avengers. This came out after I got out of comic books.
Number one, Avengers? Young Avengers? Yeah. Who was in the Avengers anyway? I can't remember. I mean, in the comic book.
I don't know. It changes all the time.
It changes, yeah.
I mean, usually it's always been Iron Man, Ant-Man, Hulk.
Hulk was there.
She-Hulk. Who else is there? I say Black Panther was in there for a little while.
I used to collect
West Coast Avengers.
West Coast Avengers.
A whole different crew. And so.
I don't even remember. I don't even understand why they have two kinds of Avengers. But yeah, I used to.
Well, they split the team apart. So they'd have some on the West Coast, some on the East Coast. Because, you know, that flying from New York to California every day to stop world's problems, you know, it's hard.
So they just need somebody. Yeah. So I used to collect that. Instead of the Avengers, I used to collect West Coast Avengers.
I still haven't watched the original West Coast Avengers, so probably the first 40 episodes, 40 issues, 50 issues, I think. So.
Oh, you got it.
Mm-hmm. So. And number 10 is all that fan art. While male characters aren't typically objectified within official comics, they certainly inspire loads of sexy fan art. The pinups top by Joe Phillips, who we've had on the show before, who I met at Comic-Con. And Joe Phillips is a big old bear that likes little white muscle boys. So, mm-hmm. And the ones above, which are in the article, you can see the picture, are just the tip of the iceberg. Joe Phillips's cartoons are always super sexy, superheroes, you know, half-naked, bulging crotches, you know, just gay sex waiting to happen on a stick, pretty much. So, mm-hmm. There are plenty of folks who find male superheroes sexy, even if they only rely on their own drawing skill to see them that way, in the same sexy light in which we rarely see female superheroes. Because there's a lot of gay fan art with superheroes, so, and some of it's very good. So, but you can check out the whole art on, look at the comics pictures that they put up there showing what they consider sexy and objectified. So, mm-hmm. But anyway, it was a pretty good little article review. And you can go to Joe Phillips' fan page and see all the stuff that he's done. So.
Wow, that's a long show.
Yeah.
I guess we can just split this. What do you think?
We can do that if you want to do that.
Yeah, so. Yeah, like I said, we won't be able to record much this next few weeks. So, yeah, we could just probably split this and make some proper intros or something. We'll see. Okay. We're talking to the fourth wall right now.
Right. We're talking to ourselves.
Okay, so what else am I going to talk about? Reunion. I want to talk about reunions. Have you ever been to your reunion before?
No.
You have no...
No desire to go back.
You have no desire to see your classmates?
Nope.
Back then?
Nope. Not at all.
Not at all.
It's ones that I wanted to stay in touch with, I stay in touch with the rest of them, not, you know.
Mm-hmm. I stayed...
Not that I hated any of them or anything. It's just like, you know, I moved on with my life, so...
I stayed in touch with all my friends, either through email or Yahoo.
But I didn't have that many friends in high school. I was a closet case and fat kid. And once I got to high school, I was a little bit better at it. You know, and I did stuff to get me through high school. But, you know, I was already around the kind of the dorky, weird crew anyhow. So, But most of them, you know, I see some of them have friended me on Facebook and I see some of their posts and everything. That's nice. But go home and hang out with them. Probably not.
Wow. Interesting. I'm looking forward to this reunion because not for the flight, because it's probably a 20-hour flight right now, and I'm not excited about that. But I'm looking forward to see lots of my, you know, friends I grew up with, and we did go. Mike and I went 2008, but I didn't get to see much of my friends. But this is the year. This is the weekend where I'm going to see everyone.
That's what, your 20th year high school?
25th. 25th. Yeah. So. I'm going to see everyone balding. Maybe some of them are chubby. Some of them are fat. Some of them are balding. Some of them are probably cute now. Become a little bit chubby. But we'll see. I don't know yet. I don't know what to expect. We'll see what happens. And and not many of them know that I'm gay. So
it's going to be a short trip.
It's going to be a short trip.
They're going to run him off the island.
Yeah. Who knows? I might, you know. Play basketball with them or something, or play badminton.
Or go do drag.
Go do drag. Let's the go have some fun. The blossoming of Oliver, what is it?
The blossoming of Maximiliano.
Maximo Oliveros. That's a Filipino movie on Netflix. You guys
should
watch it. That's
right. You can watch it, and it's based on loosely on Maynard's life story as a child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They just replaced it with cuter people. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's what I'm going to do. It's a big reunion, not only for school, but also from friends from work where I used to work there. And lots of people from I don't know about college. I don't think I'll get to see people from my college. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, yeah. I'll get to see, you know, people I used to see. Yeah. Who else? Of course, family. Take them out, go to Enchanted Kingdom, and just ride rides. You know, Enchanted Kingdom is actually it's like a Disney World there in the Philippines, there in Manila. So it's gonna be a long drive, but we'll see. I'm excited about it. So you're saying you've never done any? You've done family reunions though.
Yeah, well, not really. I mean, when I was younger, when I was there, I did stuff at home, but not since then.
But not high school.
Yeah.
How about you? Do have high school friends who are great? Wait, I remember him. You have one friend.
I have one friend. Yes.
Well, who I know is a kind of a big bear himself. He's kind of a polar bear.
Scott.
Yeah.
He's probably party with this weekend.
Where? New Orleans?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get to see him.
I saw pictures with him and Miss Grant K.
Oh, he was with Grant. Okay. Yeah.
Well, there's a picture of him with Grant, and they're both drunk. So I was like, you know, tell him what was up there.
Okay. So let me think about this. Yeah, I'll get to see him. Probably I'll see him at the – I'll see him. I'll look at my archive pictures if I see him. Uh-huh. I know I took pictures, but
yeah.
I don't know if I got everyone. But anyway, okay, so I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or if you'd like to give us a call and leave us a voice message, play it on the show, or just say hi, please call us at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. And don't forget, last week's show, we talked about if you live off-grid or know people that live off-grid and they want to talk about it on the show, or you want to send us some emails talking about your life on grid. Do that, and you can do it at show@bearpodcast or leave us a voice message. So,
yep. And subscribe via iTunes and YouTube and Vimeo. Also, catch us on Stitcher Radio, also on the Bear Radio Network. And you can go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.